This is Bristol, and you are listening to a podcast from the BristolCon Fringe reading series.
Okay, folks, I think everybody has got their drinks now, so if we can get ourselves settled again, I shall ask Joe Hall to come and read. I believe Joe is giving us the first ever public reading of her follow-up to The Art of Forgetting Rider. Is that correct? Yes. So, Joe, come and tell us all about it.
Hello. Yes, can everybody hear me all right?
Yes.
Is that okay? Right. Yes, this is the beginning of the follow-up to Rider, which will be out in April, hopefully. And if you haven't bought the first one, it is on the table there, but I know you've all bought it anyway, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Buy it again. Because I'm poor.
Buy it and give it to someone.
Yes, books make lovely presents, so, you know, buy a book for Christmas, and I'll sign it. So anyway, yes, so this is the world premiere of Nomad, and it starts like this. It wasn't long before Rodri heard the sound of pursuit. He said nothing, but his arms tightened around the girl. If they wanted to take her, it would be over his bloodied corpse. He was sure Drew would be keen to make that a reality. "Head to the river," she said, with no hint of fear. "We can hide our tracks." He steered Liberty towards the water. It was deep here, the northern banks overhanging steeply. The opposite bank was churned into soupy mud by the hooves of the goats that fled bleating as the mare leapt from the bank and splashed into the river. Rodri had an idea. With much cursing and floundering, he took off her tack and pushed her towards the mud. "Go on, Lib." She looked back at him, flicking a curious ear. "You love rolling in the mud, you silly mare. Go on." He slapped her rump, indicating she was free to play. Liberty needed no further prompting, dropping to her knees and squirming on her back, staining her dapple grey coat dingy brown. She heaved to her feet with a snort, glancing at him, and he waved her away. "Go!" It would not withstand close inspection, but from a distance she was one brown horse among hundreds. With a sigh, he let her tack fall to the bottom of the river. Riding bareback for a while was a small discomfort if it saved their lives. He swam back to the Atrathine girl, who trod water beneath the overhanging bank. She had pulled trailing fronds of grass down to form a curtain that might conceal them from searching eyes, if they were lucky and those eyes were blind. It wouldn't fool the determined hunter for a moment. The river was cold, and even stretching down with his toes, Rodri couldn't feel the bottom. He clutched hold of a protruding root beside his head and kept as still as he could. "We'll be safe here," he whispered, to reassure himself as much as the girl. He didn't feel safe. It was too much to hope Drusane would give them a quick, merciful death. With luck, Liberty might get away. He hoped she wouldn't come snuffling back to reveal their hiding place. They hid in silence, shivering and afraid. Rodri tried to judge the passing of time, but the sun was hidden behind thick grey cloud, and the waving strands of green that offered the fugitives fragile concealment. They could have stayed there a few minutes, or a few hours, with no sound from above to tell them if their pursuers were near or far. "Come find us, Drew, if you're coming," Rodri muttered through teeth clenched against the chill that seeped into his bones. The girl looked at him curiously. "I wish this would end," he added in Atrathine. She nodded. "Me too." "Rodri?" As if wrestling with some internal dilemma. "That's your name, isn't it? Rodri?" "It is." She extended a hesitant hand towards him. "My name is Nasira." He took her fingers between his own. Her fingertips felt like an old woman's, wrinkled with cold. "Why didn't you tell me before?" "I wanted to be sure I could trust you. My tribe keep our names close." "Then I'm honoured. Thank you." He hoped he would live long enough to be worthy of her trust. She drew closer to him. Her skin had a greenish hue, either due to the light falling through the leaves or genuine sickness. He felt grinding nausea in his own gut at the sound of approaching hoofbeats. "Iron feet," Nasira mouthed with a grimace of fear. He squeezed her hand. He didn't need her to tell him. If the ringing of metal horseshoes on the stony ground hadn't beaten out a warning, Drusane's cold tones told him death stood inches away. With his free hand, he groped for his sword. "Damn it, what do you mean? The tracks can't just vanish." Luke's voice, still sour. "They must have gone into the river to cover their traces." Rodri glanced at Nasira. Her hand was clamped over her mouth, her dark eyes massive with terror. "Off this height?" Drew admitted grudging respect. "He's a fearless little bastard, I'll give him that. I'd say reckless. Can we ford it?" "Not here." Let's spread out along the bank. Bloody Rodri, I'll gut him for this. Men, he raised his voice. Fan out along the river. Find a place to cross. I don't want to waste any more time today. The sound of hoofbeats echoing away in either direction. Rodri released the breath he was holding and opened his mouth to speak. Nazira pressed a warning hand to his lips. Hussein's men may have gone, but the corporal lingered on the bank along with his companion. Is it worth it? Luke said. They could be miles away by now. Most likely, but what kind of leader would I be if I didn't try to find him? He's a traitor to his unit and to the crown. If I had the chance, I'd hunt him down like a dog. He sighed. We'll search until nightfall, but tomorrow we need to move on. Curse him. I tell you, Luke, if I ever see him again, I'll unleash all the demons of hell on him. Rodri heard them moving away. Nasira lowered her hand, regarding him with curiosity. What did they say? We have to stay hidden until dark. They'll stop looking then. She shuddered. It's a long time till night. I'm cold. Come here. He wrapped his arms around her slender frame, hoping to warm them both. It's sooner than you think. If we stay here, we'll be fine. I promised to protect you, and I meant it. On your name? Is that an oath? He tried to smile. On my name, then. He wondered privately how much his name was worth. His father's name probably had more value. The light was growing dim when an outcry broke out on the far side of the river. Nazira tightened her grip on his arm. Her fingers were blue. He hushed her, holding still as death and trying to listen. A short horse, little feet. The tracks go off in this direction. Rodri breathed a quiet curse. Not liberty. She was all he had left. The Lance Corporal's ride is a dapple grey mare. Find her and he won't be far away. His former troop moved off, following Liberty's hoofprints away from the river. In the fading light, with a sheen of mud plastering her coat, the trick might work. But he couldn't relax. If he lost her, he might as well tie stones to his feet and sink to the bottom of the river to lie with her bridle. Will they come back? Nazira shuddered. My legs ache. I'm so tired. Rodri supported her with his arm. His own limbs were heavy as iron, dragging him down through the water. Not much longer. The moons are up now. She shook her head. You can't see the moons from here. Do you call me a liar? Zira smiled weakly. It's a great crime to lie, Rodri. A greater crime to punch your... He sought for the word. Your leader in the face, and then run away. She chuckled. Terrible boy. I don't know why I trust you. Do you have any choice? She had no answer to that, leaning back against his shoulder while he trod water for both of them, until it was so dark he couldn't make out the opposite bank of the river. Do you think you can swim? He asked. He wasn't sure he could, numbed in his legs and lower body. But Nazira nodded. I can keep going as long as you, she said. That won't be long if I don't find my horse. He swam across the river on leaden arms, struggling against the current. It took an eternity, and as he pulled himself up on the muddy shore, he gasped for breath. Beside him, Nazira groaned. Come on. He scrambled to his feet, collapsing as his knees gave way beneath him. Shit. Was that a curse? Nazira sat, trying to massage the feeling back into her calves. I'm afraid so. He followed her example, slapping his numb legs until they tingled. I hope we don't have to walk far. Is that your horse? Rodri couldn't see anything in the darkness, but he heard the soft clop of approaching hooves. Nazira must have the eyes of an owl. He wasn't sure, until the moment Liberty nudged him in the chest with her long nose, that it was her. Her coat was crusted with dried mud. It prickled as he threw his arms around her neck and she snorted in his ear. I'm glad they didn't find you, my girl. Let's get out of here. He turned back to Nazira, who stood with her arms folded and a wry expression on her face. What's funny? He asked her. Your horse. You talk to her like a woman. Liberty's my best girl, he fondled her ears. Liberty, you give her a name. What does it mean? It means freedom. Don't you name horses in your tribe? Nazira shook her head as she mounted. A horse is a tool, like a cooking pot or a blade. Do you name your sword, too? Of course not. That would be stupid. Riding bareback on a horse whose hair was spiky with dried mud was uncomfortable. Is it far to your tribe? Dawn, she told him, at good speed. And if they haven't moved on, they may think me lost. What if they have moved on? She patted his arm. We find them. You saved my life. I owe you welcome in my home. By dawn, Rodri could see the smoke from the Atrathine camp a few miles away. Their progress was steady rather than swift, but he felt far enough from the King's Third to begin to relax. He dismounted to give Liberty a break and walked beside her head, trying without success to brush the mud from her hide. His own clothes were crusted and stinking, and there was a raw tickle in the back of his throat. Nazira sneezed. "Are you all right?" Rodri asked. He had been about to suggest they stop and bathe in the river, but the girl looked so sick and miserable, huddled against his horse's neck, that he changed his mind. "We're nearly there, look." Nazira frowned and sneezed again. "We should walk with care," she said. "Your tribe and mine have a long story behind us." "What do you mean?" There was a rustle, a whisper of wind in the tall grasses. A moment before, the steppe was empty. Now they were surrounded by long-haired Atrathane warriors, bristling with bows and long curved knives, every weapon aimed at Rodri. Liberty bucked, snorting with alarm, and he calmed her with a pat to the neck. "Throw down your weapons," the leader commanded. Locking eyes with him, Rodri let his sabre fall, followed by his belt knife and mercy blade. Nazira slipped from Liberty's back into the embrace of a young warrior. "Temion," she cried, "are you hurt?" The warrior stepped in front of her, blade drawn, and made a slashing gesture at Rodri. "Did he hurt you? I'll have his eyes." Rodri dropped into a fighting crouch as the warrior advanced. Nazira seized his arm. "Temion, wait!" "What is it, sister?" "You don't understand." She spoke quickly. Rodri couldn't catch all her words. "He saved me. The short hairs wanted to force me to their bed, and he helped me escape. He risked his life. I know his name, and he knows mine." Her brother rounded on her, furious. "You told a short hair your name? What were you thinking?" "I trust him. I'm here, alive and unhurt, thanks to him." "Did he do anything to you?" Her brother seized her wrist. "Did you let him?" "No, I didn't." Rodri lunged at Temion, halted by the clash of steel an inch from his throat. "Let her go. She's done nothing wrong." Temion let his hand drop. "He speaks our tongue. That's different." He turned to the leader. "Maybe we can use him." "Make use of me as you will," Rodri fought to keep his voice steady. "But don't punish Nazira, and don't hurt my horse." "Your horse is more valuable than your skin." Temion gave him a sharp prod in the back with the handle of his blade. "Start walking." As Rodri approached the camp, there was a stir of excitement. Children ran out to stare at the pale stranger before their mothers snatched them away. Older ones ringed around him, firing questions, held back by the warriors of the tribe. He was pushed and prodded into the centre of the village, and Temion lashed his wrists to the fence that contained the horses. Rodri twisted in his bonds, trying to see where Liberty had gone. A stone, hurled by a hostile onlooker, struck his upper arm a glancing blow. He flinched and heard laughter as a second missile caught him on the hip. "Stop that!" The jeering, jostling crowd parted at the command of a tall, slim man, with greying hair pulled back into long braids. He was dressed in horsehide jerkin and breeches, richly decorated with beads and small polished stones that jingled as he moved. He stood a sword's length from Rodri and surveyed him. "Why is this short hair here?" he demanded. "Is the tribe in danger?" Rodri stood as straight and proud as the ropes that held him would allow. "I mean you no harm," he said in careful Atrathane. "I brought the woman back. Release me and you'll never see me again. My tribe won't hurt you. I swear on my name." The leader's eyes were slit. "You speak well. You know our customs. Are you a spy?" "No, I..." Temion butted in. "I found him with Nazira. Her dress was ripped and she was bruised. She claims he didn't hurt her." "I didn't!" Rodri kicked the post, tugging the ropes in an effort to break free. "Listen to her. She told you what happened." The older man tugged one of his braids thoughtfully. "We should have full moon council," he declared. "Nazira should tell her tale." "A woman addressing council? Even if she's my sister?" "Silence, nephew!" The leader cut him off. "I have spoken. Nazira will address the council at full moon. The short-haired fight will be decided then." Rodri decided to speak up. "Full moon is days away. Will you leave me tied like a hog until then? Nazira said I was welcome in her home." "You're lucky you've been allowed this chance," the leader told him. "Our welcome is to let you live and walk freely among us until your fate is decided." Rodri thrashed, but the ropes held him firm. "Cut me loose then, so I can repay your trust." The old man snorted. "You must think me a fool." He turned to Nazira's brother. "Temion, bring the forge." The forge was a small folding anvil heated over a campfire. The Atrathanes may not shoe their horses, but they fired metal for pots and pans and for jewellery. Whatever welcome they offered Rodri would be made over the fire, and by Temion's grim expression it wouldn't be pleasant. He renewed his fight against the ropes as Temion beat and twisted metal over the flames. "You can't do this, uncle," Nazira pleaded with the old man. "I promised him welcome. He laid no hand on me." You will have your chance to speak in council, the leader snapped. Unless you'd rather I slit his throat now. Temion, is it ready? Is what ready? Rodri lapsed into his native tongue. What are you doing? He struggled as the men of the tribe descended, calloused hands seizing his arms and legs, pressing him flat to the ground. Temion advanced, links of yellow-hot metal held at arm's length in a pair of tongs. The colour was so bright Rodri screwed up his eyes. Were they going to brand him, like a horse? Let go of me! The heat was agonising. Rodri heard his skin crackle as the chain dropped over his feet. Searing raw pain clenched around his ankles and raced up his legs like flames. He screamed, choking on vomit, dizzy enough to pass out. There was a smell like a pork joint fallen in the fire, and far above, a woman cried out. His world was a blur of hands and fire and pain. He would welcome death to make it stop, and there was a word to bring about death. Mercy! Mercy, by the hells! Father, help me! No mercy for Rodri, just the burning that went on and on. He screamed and kicked, trying to pull his feet away from the fire, but the pain travelled with him. He felt himself lifted and carried, and the blessed shock of cold water engulfing him to his knees. His head spun, and the world crashed into darkness and forgetting. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Joe. We'll have another quick replenishing of the beer break, and then we'll have a couple more short pieces from Kevin. Oh, just one. And some Q&A.
BristolCon Fringe is a monthly reading series produced by the BristolCon Foundation. Our thanks to the Shakespeare Tavern for providing us with a venue. The music at the beginning of this podcast is The Future by Chevy 174.